listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Woo! That's a bad outfit! Woo!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo no down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. This is issue 115 of Geek Watch 1. And we are here once again at the Malton Meeple.
Yay!
And
Big crowd.
As you can hear, today happens to be a beautiful 75 degree day here in Akron, Ohio. So there's not many people that decided to be here.
And we're stuck inside.
recording. We don't even have a Miss Vicky because she's actually at an art show.
That's right.
But we warned you guys last week that this week is all things Comic-Con. And Comic-Con had a lot of stuff.
It had a lot of things that you missed.
Yes.
So we're talking about that.
That's what we're aiming at because everybody's... You guys have all seen the trailers. I mean,
You should have seen the trailers.
The trailers.
Or at least some of them. The ones you're interested in,
yes.
Anyway.
All the stuff for the Warner Brothers and all the TV shows. Everybody knows what's going on with the TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Two nights ago, I finally got a chance to see the Stranger Things trailer. Good stuff. That's going to be amazing this year. Especially, what was the kid's name that was actually trapped in the underneath last time? But he's seeing that in the waking days now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Well, you knew by the end of the last episode, he wasn't quite right, even though he was back. So, not surprising. And, of course... It's no spoiler to say that Eleven's back.
Yes.
I mean, she's in the trailer and everything, and you knew she was going to be back.
And the prop guys, you got to give it to them. That duct tape ghost trap for Ghostbusters, that was cool.
That's right. Good, yeah.
That was awesome looking.
Ghostbusters plays heavily in the trailer and in the series because it falls on Halloween. The series premieres again right around Halloween, so... it's all appropriate. And, like, the fact that they use Thriller as the background music was pretty awesome.
And the best part is, when they bring in Thriller in it, it's not the actual song part. It comes in with Vincent Price talking to you.
Well, the music comes in, and all you hear is the actual just music.
Yeah, a little bit of organ.
Synthesized version of it. But you get the Vincent Price voiceover from it, which is cool.
That was always one of the things for me that made that song so cool anyway, because Vincent Price didn't do music stuff. He didn't do little cameo
things
here and there.
That was a big deal. When you were a kid, you didn't necessarily realize that, but it was a big deal that Vincent Price was in that song.
He was rapping. I mean, it's actually considered a rap.
That's true, it is.
Yeah, and I'm like, Vincent Price was dropping lyrical bombs, I guess.
I think the story goes that Vincent Price was actually buddies with, or was actually friends with Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Or something.
Right.
That's why Michael asked him to do
it. Michael had a lot of weird friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no surprise.
Although I love seeing Dragon's Lair. I lost so many quarters to that game.
They cut away. They give you part of a cutscene of Dragon's Lair and cut away because they knew that even these kids or whoever's making this show couldn't get Dragon's Lair, couldn't get past the first couple screens of Dragon's Lair.
No.
There was very few people actually.
Dragon's Lair trailer? I did not hear that.
No. In Stranger Things.
In Stranger Things trailer is Dragon's Lair.
Yeah, the kids are playing Dragon's Lair.
I've actually seen the ending once.
I was on
YouTube? Yeah, but it wasn't because you did it.
No, I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
You actually saw someone make it to the end?
I saw somebody make it through.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
The only way to do that is to memorize what it is, because there's not enough reaction time to
And the princess is pretty much naked. She's like in a sheer dress.
Make it worthwhile to make all that work.
14-year-old Kyle was like, what? It's sort of like the same thing with Space Ace. She was kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they had to give you, as difficult as those games were, they had to give you a reason to get to the end.
Yes.
Oddly inspiring, that Space Ace. Oddly inspiring.
Yes.
Yeah, so
that was the Stranger Things trailer. There wasn't a whole lot of that we were going to talk about on trailers, like I said, because we got... Was there any under-the-radar type stuff out of the media, out of the trailers or anything?
Okay, first of all, let me just tell you, there were about 40 or so trailers that came out of Comic-Con.
Yeah. I didn't see nearly that many.
A couple-day span of time brought us 40, more than 40, just over 40 trailers. And most of them were TV, not surprisingly,
yeah.
Because you have your mainstream stuff now, and a lot comes from, you know, Sci-Fi Network and stuff, but then you also have Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that. I don't think there was anything all that surprising. We did find out from the Westworld trailer that it'll be coming in spring of 2018.
Okay.
So it's not a huge long wait like the first season was.
Yeah.
You know, they gave the Doctor Who Christmas special trailer that came out. And then it was the usual kind of stuff. Then also,
there's... Do we know who the companion's going to be for Doctor Who for this one? Or is it not, not in this one?
Bill is in it.
Okay.
But because it's a regeneration and you know Bill's not returning...
Is it Cyberman Bill?
It's all up... No, it's regular Bill.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's got a weird... It's got that whole First Doctor, 12th Doctor thing going on. So, yeah. So it's not surprising that she's actual Bill. But we'll see what happens. There was a weird sci-fi, really, really short trailer for something called Happy, which is based on a comic.
Okay.
It involves a cop and his new partner, who's an animated blue horse that only he sees. that's kind of as far as I can go.
Wait, did you say that was animated or live action?
Animated. Okay. No, the show is live action.
So this is going to be
the
like...
The horse is animated.
Oh, what was that word?
An invisible friend or a bump to the head?
It looked like a bump to the head because he first sees him in an ambulance.
What is that
in the
show they just had? Was it Wilbur or the one about the dog? The
Wilfred.
Dude, Wilfred.
The dog
is Wilfred's situation or what?
I have no idea.
That show was actually hilarious the first season or two.
It's got the guy who was... I don't remember his name, but he was in... Was it SVU or something? He's a bald dude. He always plays... It seems to play a cop.
Right.
Or something. But yeah, he's in it. I don't know. It's a really short clip. If you watch Sci-Fi, you'll see it. I've seen the commercial already.
Yeah.
So it's showing up on Sci-Fi. I think there was also American Horror Story, which announced the title for the season will be Cult.
Okay.
Stargate Origins, which was a bit of a surprise because it's a web series.
Did they actually have a trailer for it?
They had a trailer for it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm going to
see
that
cast in it.
Because that one looks interesting.
Well, no, it's like someone's granddaughter
whole series is like a soft reboot.
It's going to be jacked up because they're going to have their own streaming service that you have to get in order to get it.
Yeah.
That's going to
last. Well, it's about, what's her name? The lady who actually, in the Stargate movie, brought Daniel in. The old lady?
Yeah.
It was her grandfather, or her father
Catherine
or grandfather.
Catherine Langford.
That's it, Catherine.
The daughter of the archaeologist who first discovered the Stargates.
Exactly. And it's like her going through the Stargates and doing stuff.
And each one is only 10 minutes long. And the thing is, it's not so much that, okay, this is going to be on a streaming service. It's going to be on a Stargate-dedicated streaming service. Like, that's all they're going to show is Stargate stuff. No one's going to pay
actually,
for just Stargate
that's
stuff.
That's why, well, last I heard, when I heard about this a couple weeks ago, I read about this, and they said that there's going to be, it's not all pay. There's actually, it's about half and half between pay and free stuff, so.
And it depends. Maybe they threw in, this is part of the appeal of a Patreon page, stuff that didn't make it to the floor, deleted scenes that
well, released. I mean, they did say they were going to have, essentially, they'll probably have, like, the entirety of the series of Stargate, everything that's there. But, I mean, a lot of those, at least for now, you can get elsewhere.
And they might do spin-offs like, I don't know, Tales of the Tol'kra.
Right,
It's kind of interesting, like, you know, they do, like, Tol'kra and SG-1 missions, or SG, period.
Right.
Let's say you have a team called SG-9, and it's, like, their little web series, they just happen to have rotten luck. Who was that one team with rotten luck? It wasn't SG-1. It's the one that kept... Everyone kept dying, or everyone kept having...
Was it SG-9?
I forget which one. Was it 6 or something?
Yeah, but
it was
one
that just cursed.
Like, yeah, they were, like... They... Didn't the team, like... Almost like all of them always go somewhere and they get killed or captured
need,
or something.
We need backup now! And all of them have probably been wounded at least twice.
Yeah.
So there you go. If you're really into Stargate, you'll have your own streaming service. there weren't really many other exceptional, unexpected trailers. I guess one of the ones was that took a lot of people by surprise because they hadn't heard of it before was Bright on Netflix, the movie.
There was some buzz with Will Smith, but it was some teaser.
Yeah, it's a couple minutes long now for the trailer, and it's basically everyone's comparing it to Shadowrun, like a live action Shadowrun.
Yeah, it's not. It's more like
without
Alien
the cyber.
It's Alien Nation
with
magic.
Wand. Yeah. Yeah, so you've got an interesting mix of, you know, orcs and humans and fairies. It's rather funny, the little fairy bit that he has in the trailer.
Yeah!
That was gangster. Literally. Gangster.
That was too funny.
I mean, so apparently fairies are...
The Bright trailer. How it begins with the
fairies. The fairy. Yeah. Fairies aren't...
Bright
are ratchet. Fairies, get on your
this
own.
This one surprised me. I didn't know this one was coming.
Oh, okay.
And seeing actual fantasy characters in a real-life setting...
Mm-hmm.
Is amazing in my opinion. Why hasn't this been done multiple times before?
Yeah.
So are they refugees?
It's just real world. It's like
the way it looks.
It's always been like that.
Yeah. It looks like they've always been there.
Because they're just part of society.
It sounds like they're new because they're making it seem like, okay, they're pairing up with you, the world's watching, is almost like a reverse affirmative action thing. Okay, I'm the first black cop.
That's kind
you're
of,
the first
yeah.
whatever cop you are, so it seems like they weren't here a year ago.
It seems like maybe they've been around but not accepted.
And the way this looks,
so,
I was surprised it's Will Smith, but it's a Netflix movie. It's going straight to Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but... Netflix has got movies like that now, you know? Like, a lot of the streaming services have the higher-end movies now, and they've got...
Mm-hmm.
It's got money in it, for sure, because...
Yeah, the quality looks amazing.
You see the effects in the trailer with the magic when it comes into it and everything.
Right.
And it looks pretty cool.
Now, did they say anything about Highlander? The reboot?
Nothing yet.
Nothing. Nothing on Highlander.
I don't know.
I'm watching for it. I don't know about if I like the idea of the reboot.
It can stay away.
See, I love Highlander, but I don't know about rebooting it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. One of the interesting trailers wasn't so much a trailer. It was for Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yes.
It was...
It wasn't a teaser trailer.
It was a recruiting video.
Yes.
It crapped me up, though. It's like Highlander. They wrote themselves into a corner, man. You kill all the bad guys, you win the war at the end. What else is there to do except maybe kill each other?
Why are you back?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason you should have Pacific Rim is if somebody uses Jaegers to take over the world, right? And the way he was doing like a commercial. Join the resistance, blah, blah, blah.
Now it's going to be Jaegers against each other again.
Robot jocks, how it should have
Robot
been.
Robot Jaegers!
There you go. It'll be Rock'em Sock'em Jaegers.
That's right.
You're onto something. Rock'em Sock'em mode!
There you go!
In giant robot land, that would look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have the Robotech things on there at all?
Mm-mm.
Sony actually, at the Robotech panel or somewhere there, they actually announced the director for the Sony Robotech movie that's coming. So Marcus is looking this up now, so he'll let us know who the director is.
No, I'm surfing for the trailers.
There was no trailer, but it was announced that they are making the movie, Sony's making it, and they announced the director. I'll find that in a minute while we continue going.
Will that be live action or anime?
Live action.
And that was their mistake.
I don't know. Look at what they did with, when I watched Pacific Rim, that's when I said, you know what? They could actually do a believable, good Voltron and Robotech.
Nope.
They can.
Nope.
I'm not saying they're going to. I'm saying they could.
It'll be just like Star Blazers.
Ooh.
And it will disappoint you in the sense that they could not throw out... Okay, remember what Robotech was, all right?
Yeah.
Millions, possibly billions of Zentradi going after a ship about what? How many miles long?
This was a ship. You gotta think the
missiles.
Anybody who doesn't know, the Zentradi in Robotech are about 50 to 60 feet tall, and the ship was built for them.
Yeah, I mean,
and yet not. It was almost like you're cramming yourself inside of an escape pod with legs and guns, like an ostrich.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And now the power armors were scary.
Right.
Now, if they imagine if they had gone full size, they would have won. Like if all of them were like. In suits 200 feet tall.
Oh,
easy win. But I like how they came up with the interesting way of cramming them in, so it's fair.
Right.
But if you look at those fights again on Robotech, it's too much.
It's really
like the Battle of Endor. It's like the big battle in Rogue One. It's like those battles in the prequels. It's too much. You have to make an anime.
Yeah, okay. I've been watching the original series again. And you would have like two or three squadrons of fighters out there going at it, and you got the SDF-1 in the mix too.
With all those guns.
It's
here's my second argument. Transformers.
Yeah.
Should have left an anime. they had taken it all the way to Beast Wars, where it was pretty much VR. But when you see those things transform. Say, like, ah.
Yeah, you that's
now imagine, true. Now imagine a Veritech swooping down out of plane mode, guardian mode, and then battleoid mode, coming up shooting somebody. It was epic.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was anime. Can they bungle it in real life? Absolutely.
I mean, well, you know, there is something kind of creepy. There is something creepy about watching a Transformer run and transform at the same time. It doesn't matter if it's an Autobot or Decepticon. There is something kind of creepy about that.
But here's the difference. You better have that Sony name money behind your CGI.
That's true.
Yeah. If you do it like Star Blazers, no.
Well, Star Blazers was done in Japan, and they didn't quite have the money to put behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. If they said, okay, let's put the same amount of money in a Robotech as we did Transformers. Okay.
They could actually do that because
and they would have made it back.
Sony is probably looking for a good baseline property to base everything in. Because Spider-Man was their biggest property at the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
As far as I know,
yeah.
And it's until now. It really hasn't been doing all that great for them. They need a good baseline major property to bank everything on.
Mm-hmm.
Robotech could do that.
Yeah.
But the director they have right now is Andy Muschietti. I guess he's he did Mama, but he's the director of the upcoming It.
Oh, there
so.
You go.
And again, one other thing that could cripple this movie is not just the money and what you put in the CGI, it's the cast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need a cast of nobodies who do a Hudson and knock it out the park and become cult icons.
That's the biggest
yes.
problem with so many of these movies. They decide they need one or two big stars and then they'll just fill in the rest.
Yeah.
And that's the killer for so many of them.
It's easy to do a voiceover because you can be in your pajamas, half high.
There you go.
Legging a cast going,
okay, I'm in there now.
It's a dude. And you're none the wiser and you just love, you know, Rick Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm
doing the sign of the cross here.
I want to go see this just because I want to see live action Veritech Fighters. I've been waiting since I was a kid to see this.
Well, I mean, they have a live action Veritech
exactly
Fighter
saying, but...
in Japan. You got a picture of it.
You can
look
see.
But I'd rather live in the past than have them do it wrong. Like that
yeah.
Fist of the North Star live action.
Ooh, ooh.
The one with, what was it, Christopher Penn?
Oh, no. Oh, gosh, I know what you're talking about. Oh, my God, that was just terrible.
Sometimes, folks, you just need to wait until the technology's there.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's what's nice about, they've never tried to do Robotech or Voltron or some of the other ones live action because they couldn't do it until now.
Speed Racer, enough said.
You sat through it?
I watched it.
Yeah,
again.
He watched it the other night.
How
and
much,
I'm like, why are we watching this?
How much was a psychiatric assistance?
The only thing that was really good about that was the Mach 5 and the Mach 6. Everything else was just...
Well, those are just cars you can look at. You don't have to watch the whole movie.
Yeah, that was... it was on, and I said, was it as bad as I remembered?
Yes.
Maybe because I hold... I hold the cartoon.
I understand. I had this problem with Blade 3.
Yeah.
I sat through, I'm like, okay, the first 5-10 minutes are awesome, and then I'm like, ugh. And I tell my best friend this movie's crap, and he didn't believe me, so I had to see it again because, yeah, Wesley Slams can't make a bad movie, can he? I didn't know about his indie schlock at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he can. Yes,
that's
he
right.
can.
Well, what else do we have in the way of trailers and stuff? Or do we get to the end of that list? As we tangent off of everywhere.
In terms of
was
trailers,
was anything else
that
wasn't huge yet?
That people weren't expecting. There really wasn't anything else. I mean,
okay.
we got all the DC TV shows. We got the
which I gotta say one thing though is
please
we got
root beer.
The
thanks.
Black Lightning trailer
mm-hmm.
was a terrible Black Lightning trailer. It was a fantastic CW superhero show trailer.
Yes.
Because it was a great...
And that's kind of the problem with the CW shows.
It was a great one showing how the CW takes it from the page, puts it on the screen, and it's behind the scenes for all the shows, including Black Lightning. But it's like, it was all the shows, not just Black Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think what it is they've only shot the pilot for Black Lightning. And they've
yeah,
already
they
shown us everything
much.
They want to show us.
They don't have much they can show.
If they show us much more, we will have seen the whole thing. All we have
and
to do is
quite honestly,
together.
I think the really the only good CW trailer was Legends of Tomorrow. Because it was funny. It had a lot of stuff in it.
Seeing the circus scenes was great.
It had a potential Easter egg in the circus scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that one was good. The other ones were pretty much just expected, and it wasn't really...
They did announce, though, that we already knew Rip Hunter's going to be there all season.
Mm-hmm.
But Captain Cold is coming back this season again, and it looks like the main villain is going to be Damian Dark this season.
Yeah. Well, you know, they've messed up time. Everyone's back and forth everywhere.
And with time being all messed up, putting in someone who's all magic would be great for a villain.
Exactly.
Although the trailer for Arrow was... It was all right. It was an Arrow trailer. Who they're planning for the big bad, I was hoping to see something in the trailer, and it wasn't there.
Yeah. I don't know if they've actually cast Richard Dragon yet.
I don't
know. We were wondering, they had mentioned that Richard Dragon's going to be there. Mm. Are they going to bring back in Bronze Tiger and China White?
I don't know.
Because we did a little bit of looking, Richard Dragon, his main adversary was always Bronze Tiger in the books. Even though they're both villains.
Originally they were heroes. They turned him into a villain in New 52. Okay. Because Richard Dragon trained Batman, he trained Barbara Gordon when she lost her legs. He trained The Question. But with New 52, they changed the story, which made him kind of a villain. So I don't know.
But it'll be interesting knowing that Bronze Tiger is so closely related to Richard Dragon. Mm-hmm. He's been in the show before,
right,
working with China White.
Right.
So put the three of them together and see what you get.
I think TV could use more Michael Jai White.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Everybody could use more Michael Jai White.
We just want Michael Jai White showing up. That's all we need. That's all we want.
And where does he appear again?
He's actually Bronze Tiger and Arrow.
Tiger and Arrow.
Every time anything
he didn't appear very much. But
okay, you've now given me a reason to watch Arrow again because I've heard so much schlock about.
There's only two or three episodes that he's in, but he's Bronze Tiger.
I may have to find them now. What do you think about the Gotham trailer?
That one,
okay.
Yeah. I liked their take on Scarecrow, even though it's the same as we saw in the Dark Knight trilogy.
But you can't do much with a Scarecrow take to make him scary.
Although the scenes they showed with Selina as Catwoman, that there was some cool stuff she's doing. Yeah. So, and even I don't mind.
I mean, I was annoyed that the majority of the trailer was just scenes from last season.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
well,
just
all of them were like
the trailer. That's what kind of annoyed me about them.
Yeah.
I just want the trailer for the upcoming season.
The problem they have with it is that Comic-Con, when it comes every year, they've only got the pilots filmed, or the first episode of the season. So you can only show a certain amount, or else you're basically going to show the entire episode.
Right.
So
well,
you got to do
the
recap.
Just give me
the
minute and a half. That's what I need.
And what about The Gifted?
I don't know. Did they have anything for The Gifted?
They did have a trailer for Gifted.
And they had a list of the other mutants that's going to be in it. Polaris is going to be in this.
Thunderbird watered down.
Yeah.
But he's got the senses.
There are, if you look up, there's a website for The Gifted that has hidden things that are like messages from the surviving mutants and stuff like that.
Okay.
But the one thing they did announce at Comic-Con was that The Gifted is not going to cross over with the movie universe or with Legion in terms of X-Men. There's no crossover. Basically, the mutants...
Is it in the same
universe,
though?
Well, the mutants as you knew them don't exist.
Yeah.
So, I think it's the same universe, but it's like...
How much into
the
future is this supposed to be?
They didn't say specifically.
Or actually...
Between an X-Men and Logan scenario, perhaps?
When is... I've not got a chance to see Legion yet, but when is Legion set? Is it modern?
No.
Legion's early 80s.
Early 80s. All the X-Men movies to this point, since the reset with Days of Future Past, have not got past even the 80s yet. Mm-hmm. So this could be modern times.
Well,
but by the time the X-Men movies catch up to now, it'll get to where we're at.
What they said was, what was his name? Showrunner Matt Nix, after he said they weren't going to cross over, basically said, he essentially referenced Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And he said, that gave us multiple streams and things to do.
Yeah.
But he didn't specify exactly where The Gifted falls in that.
Well, we know the next X-Men movie is Dark Phoenix, right? If I remember it, that one's supposed to be in the 90s.
Yes.
So they still got plenty of time before they get... Like I said, The Gifted could be right now, but it's after all the X-Men stuff's happened, because all that's still happening in the past in the movies.
Possibly.
So...
Possibly. But, I mean, by saying they don't want crossover, they're basically saying, you know, watch our show for its own sake. Don't expect something else.
Yeah.
To come out of it.
But it should probably suck. Just for that reason. I mean, that should be half the fun because, I mean, unless you have a budget that's going to be like, what was that show? Mutant X? Some bad guys are chasing the good guys and every so often they might actually try to save the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is I think as long as it's got the decent story, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like, because it reminded me, based on the trailers, it reminded me of Heroes.
Yeah.
The first incarnation of Heroes was good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Until it got to that last season.
If there was no writer's strike, Heroes probably would have lasted another couple seasons.
Heroes was good when it started. So if it starts out strong like that, it, you know, it could do well. Mm-hmm.
So what do we got next on our list?
Let me see. Oh, since we were talking some X stuff, Legion had it didn't have much come out aside from saying the new season's going to be 10 episodes long, and they're actually working on locking down an appearance by Professor X himself, because if this is no spoiler, if you should have watched the season by now if you're interested in it, the main character in Legion is Professor X's son.
Now, which Professor X?
No, well, see, that's just it. It probably won't be like Patrick Stewart.
Because Patrick Stewart and James McAvoy are both alive in this.
It would most likely be McAvoy if they're going for a big name for Professor X, if they're actually going for someone who's in the movies or whatever. Otherwise, they're just working on getting Professor X in the show, period. But the one cool thing I thought was one of the things they do at Comic-Con and one of the reasons to go is that they have these experiences where basically they take rooms or buildings and a certain TV show will set up an experience.
Yeah.
So they've always had things with like The Walking Dead where you have to make it through like a zombie horde or something like that. Or they've done a Game of Thrones one. They did one for Stranger Things, which just was a walkthrough. They did one for Legion that involved VR.
Okay.
That you were basically taken in. The premise of Legion, for the most part, in the first season involved a psychiatric hospital. So you're taken into this, the beginning of this experience, and you're basically signing into a hospital.
Okay.
And people in white coats are around and all that kind of thing. You're given this VR headset that it's not completely VR. It shows you what's going on, but it's got stuff layered on top of it.
It's more augmented reality.
Right. Which is a lot of what the TV show did.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically you're going through as if you're the main character, David Haller.
So they give you Google Glass to walk around with.
Yeah, you're being treated like you're the schizophrenic. They're testing you. They take you into a room and they tell you to move things. And of course things actually move when they tell you to move things. Stuff like that. And then you're actually faced with, if you saw the show, The Angriest Boy in the World. It's this psychiatric issue that David has of a character from a book he read when he was a kid that kind of traumatized him a little bit along with everything else. But it's this, but the person, apparently The Angriest Boy in the World is actually in the room with you.
Oh.
It's not part of the VR. And if you've seen this show, it's the thing that looks like it has a giant kid's head. It's this big paper mache looking head. It's really creepy. Well, apparently he like lunges at you or something, and you're like supposed to try and stop him with your mind, and you temporarily stop him, but then he comes at you again, and whoever's with you that's trying to help you out like throws you against the wall, and then you fall through the wall, and then you're suddenly just like in the stark daylight again. they said it was the most awesome experience at Comic-Con. And,
wow.
Yeah, and of course you had to make an appointment for it, you know, they only have a certain number of runs do on it, but it was actually a physical experience like you were in the show.
That reminds me, we'll have to have our friend Jessie on the show. She's on her way home today.
Mm-hmm.
She actually went this past week to the Doctor Who experience in Cardiff, Wales.
Well, we could have her and Greg on at the same time.
Have both
Greg
been
went
here
for like
to
the
talk
second
about
time.
Now, you know what I got from listening to all that? I haven't seen an episode of Legion. I may have to Netflix that puppy. Is that on Netflix, by the way?
It will be soon, hopefully.
I'm not sure if it is yet.
Yeah.
But what if you're somebody like Legion walking around with a bunch of powers and you can never use them? They just bottle around in your head. If anybody goes into your head, it's fair game.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the rub. You're a carrier for a plague, and everybody who's around you, they get your powers or a copy of them. If they stay around you too long.
There
they
you
catch
go.
A cold, they catch a power.
They catch a power?
They catch.
There's
that's
the next
what
book.
I'll call it. Catch a power.
Catch a power. the other X-Men.
Out of really good schools.
Let me see. I had one other bit of X-Men news that came out. It's actually comic book related. That's kind of cool. They're going to do a retro X-Men series that is going to compile the entirety of the X-Men franchise into 6 issues.
Okay.
Called X-Men Grand Designs. Every chapter of the miniseries condenses a decade of adventures into a single comic. And Marvel's going to release 2
How
issues.
How do you do that?
Just wait. Marvel's going to release 2 issues a year with a paperback collection of reprints. And it has an Eisner Award-winning creative involved who's named Ed Piskor. He will write, draw, ink, color, and letter every issue.
That's why there's two issues
a year. That's why there's only two a year. All on his own. He did, he's best known for something called the Hip Hop Family Tree, which was an extensive history of the origins of hip hop music. So basically, he writes and illustrates history.
Okay.
So
it's a comic book documentary. Am I hearing this right?
It compiling their adventures. Yeah, it's not a, you know, about their origins or anything, but it's their adventures themselves.
But here's the thing: you'd probably ignore the X-Men after Gambit. Seriously, has anyone read the X-Men in the last 15 years?
Well, this has all the early ones. That's the point. But
without taking out a mortgage,
he got chosen for this 2 years ago. He tweeted that he could take 300. He said, it would take 300 pages, but I have a way to combine the first 300 issues of X-Men into a complete, satisfying tale. There was no mention of how long each of these issues is going to be.
Yeah.
and they probably have the size of comic strips.
But the fact that, you know, he's doing a decade per issue is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've ever wanted to read a lot of the early X-Men, just wait for this and you can just get the gist.
Now, can I ask a question? And I hope somebody has the inside word. Are they going to just leave the mutants alone in the comic books, bring them back? This Inhumans thing is disheartening. I want to see mutants take over the world.
Until Fox and Marvel start playing nice a little bit more on movie side, I don't think you're going
to
get a lot.
You know what?
I've always had mutants and Inhumans anyway.
Yeah. Even to the point where they're rebooting the original X-Men team, I don't want to see spotty little Cyclops or Slam.
Well, Marvel,
again.
The thing is, we're starting to see the mutants now show up in Marvel games. They weren't for a long time. I think we're about to see Marvel. We're starting to see the mutants show up again. I say by December we'll see
them. Just make some new, cool mutants. I know it sounds like an oxymoron over the last 15 years, but seriously, after Gambit and Psylocke.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, you got
X-23.
This is
X-23.
There's
cool.
been something hot, something happening. We know since at least around when Deadpool came out. There's been little leaks of something's going on here. There's too much smoke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be a fire somewhere here.
It's like someone capped off the originality or Avengers. I mean, you can make somebody an Avenger. You can make somebody a reservist. People have been in and out. It's like Grand Central Station, that mansion, right?
Mm-hmm.
X-Men, hook them up. I mean, they actually had some interesting mutants, just none of them were, like, taken off well enough for their own series.
Yeah, keep your eyes open because there's something happening in Marvel between Marvel and Fox. No one said anything physically, but there's too much. Like I said, there's been too much smoke. There's got to be a fire.
Now, Spider-Man, what'd you think?
We already talked about it.
You should have read the show.
Oh. You got to catch us the first week a movie comes out.
I'm sorry. Make it quick then.
It was good.
Yeah, we liked it.
I liked it.
Okay.
He's a better Spider-Man than the other two were.
No, he's not. But that's okay. That movie angered me.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Because of, and this is my two cents. How long was Spider-Man swinging around before Tony Stark found him?
I have no idea. They never said
it.
I don't think
it matters for the movie.
For this movie, 4 to 6 months. In New York, day in, day out, you should be much smarter than that. And if you lose your web shooters and a regular guy is like, I'm going to kill you now, Spider-Man should go, I'm sorry. Why? Because I'm about to slap you with my pinky. No sense of the comic book.
He's a 15-year-old kid.
If it was a standalone, if that was the first time I introduced Spider-Man, it would have been awesome. Okay, fine, you're a rookie. But if you're running day in, day out, rule number one, you slap them down while you're talking. You don't talk and let them shoot at you. Just try to slap them down. Especially don't know what they're packing. It was a good piece. It had wonderful opportunity. And I can't diss Spider-Man because people will find me, but at the same time I like that second one. That second one they had it. They just put in Jamie Foxx. I mean, why there? Why couldn't he have been Slide? He would have been slick as Slide with tricks. Or the Vulture even. Why Electro? Okay, I'm stopping. Fight him, Marcus. Fight him.
Well, hey, we can move on to other superheroes, because there was a Marvel-wise, obviously, a lot of news, and we'll get to DC in a moment.
Yeah.
They had a panel just for the Defenders.
Okay, yes.
Obviously, they had everyone on stage and, you know, fawning over each other. And they also brought Bernthal on stage as Punisher, because we still have not... Obviously, we won't until it comes out. We still don't know if Punisher's plays much of a role in Defenders, because...
And if he's in there at all.
Their main concern is Sigourney Weaver's character and Elektra being back again, so...
In the Defenders trailer, one of the extended versions is, like, in there for, like, 3 or 4 seconds in the cheesy 80s Punisher costume. Oh, it sounds like I got here right here in the nick of time or something.
Yeah, that teases his series. That's what I'm thinking. I don't think he's actually in Defenders. I think that teases his own series that's coming out in the fall.
Oh, that would make me so mad. I mean, no Doctor Strange, but you have the possibility for a punishment to let that go?
Well, I mean, Daredevil's already had his thing with him. Yeah. So.
But how best to deal with ninjas if not with automatic weapons?
Yeah,
you can
no.
see them.
No, see, you need the Defenders coming together anyways. They've got a lot more to focus on.
The one thing I'm wondering is
everything that's going on.
Why is Daredevil the only one with any kind of costume? Have you watched any of the trailer or anything? Nobody else has any costume at all. Not even, trying to do anything.
Daredevil just has a scarf on his head.
Well, yeah, but he does have a costume. We've seen that.
His secret identity's not out.
Daredevil had a costume in his own series.
Yeah.
The Defenders, not
yet. We don't
know.
Actually, you do see, because she said, hey, nice ears. He says they're horns.
Right.
He's in his costume. But see, that's because he needed something to protect him from being, because he's not bulletproof. Luke doesn't have that to worry about.
Luke just needs to wear a yellow shirt. That's all we need. All
right, let's step back. Luke Cage was outed, and he doesn't have the costume connect.
That's
Jessica
true.
Jones is outed. She doesn't have... If Matt Murdock gave them the name of his guy, they'd all have costumes.
That's
and
true.
If they stick around, you may see them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Danny...
Well, interestingly, some of the... toys released at previewed at Comic-Con for the Marvel's Defenders actually has Jessica dressed in her Jewel costume. The one that they showed in the first series that you see the white with the blue on it. And
yeah.
That was Jewel. The character they have for the toy is actually Jewel.
Okay.
And in Iron Fist, when they showed the old footage of an Iron Fist with two glowing Iron Fists laying people down, he had the costume on. So if he gets back in touch with his roots, maybe someone will make him some silk pajamas. Who knows?
Yeah. I think they said by the end of Defenders, he's supposed to get the inkling of a costume.
Good.
Once you have mastered the fine art of acting, then you get your costume.
I mean, he just needs to be shirtless in green pants, and he's got the costume. Because he's got the burn on his chest
right,
as it is.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're not going to do
the
70s
trailing
one.
That's right, the trailing durag.
I'm pretty sure they're not going to do the 70s one, which I don't
know. Oh, I
want
hope
that.
The big long V neck.
Oh my gosh, no.
Look at his episode. He was like, I look like a fool.
I'm sitting there like, oh my god, they're not doing it, are they?
The big nappy fro.
Yes.
The
nappy
yes.
fro.
Yes.
Tiara.
Someone was loving that.
You like a fool. Damn fool.
That's anyway. The Defenders panel. They did some of the stuff we actually talked about. Was one of the things was that Iron Fist season 2 was going to start production soon, and Misty Knight's going to be in it. So they released that kind of stuff. They said the big challenge for Defenders was making sure you kind of honored every character's story as well as bringing all of them together in the story. That made things a little difficult. And they actually got to see, the crowd got to see the first episode of Defenders.
Oh, nice.
They actually showed them the entire first episode. So, see, that's another reason that it's worth being at Comic-Con, to deal with, with all those crappy crowds and stuff. You get to see episodes ahead of
time. Yeah, do you really want to sleep on concrete overnight to see an episode?
That's
of
the
show?
Thing. You've got to think of some of these.
For all the Hall H panels, you have to basically
line.
Be there the night before and sleep on concrete.
It's very simple. It's very simple. You simply buy Marvel.
That's right.
Or you become a heavy hitter on the football. You need to become the Marvel's
10%. That's true.
And you can see everything.
You can show. Yeah.
They might even send you stuff.
The only other thing that came up was why is it only 8 episodes? And they said, because that's basically just the best way to tell the story.
Yeah.
Make it short, to the point, no filler.
Yeah, because the other shows at, 13
episodes?
There are filler episodes in there.
Yeah, exactly. One should give you a little more background.
That's hard to do. 13 episodes, they should be able to tell a complete story just perfect there. But they actually get 2 story arcs in there and 2 or 3 filler episodes.
Right. Whereas this, I mean, you know the background of all the characters, so you don't need any episodes for that. You don't want to know too much background about your main villains. You know, with the Sigourney Weaver is the only one that's the mystery right now. You know Elektra's background pretty much from what happened with Daredevil. You just don't know how she's come back to life.
Yeah,
but in that teaser, there was also Madame Gao, who's still the ultimate enigma. Is she a telepath? I'm thinking she's a telepath.
I don't know, there's something about her. There is so something about her.
She put Iron Fist down once.
Mm-hmm.
She's such an awesome character.
Was it Daredevil? She slapped
It was Daredevil.
Them.
It was Daredevil.
Yeah.
She's such an awesome character. I love her.
Kingpin scared her. I'm like,
exactly.
What?
Anybody who scares Kingpin is someone you gotta look twice at.
You do have to wonder. You do. Okay, so other Marvel stuff. There was a big Captain Marvel thing.
Yeah.
They released. They did. There was no trailer. There's a fake trailer going out there. There's no trailer for Captain Marvel that came out. Don't give in to the fake trailer. there is. There's this trailer that has like jets and all this stuff. And people actually on YouTube have in the comments the specific movies those pieces came from. Fake trailer. But they did have, you know, some of the art showing, you know, how things are going to look. And actually just this past couple days, they released a Skrull concept art. Mm-hmm. Because Captain Marvel is going to be set in the 90s. It's going to have the Skrulls. Which, if you're a Marvel fan, you know there's a huge thing with the Skrull and Kree War. The Krees have already been in Marvel, alien species, all that kind of goodness. The interesting part is having the Skrulls in a Captain Marvel movie in the 90s is that this could set up the whole Skrull storyline because they're shapeshifters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a big storyline in Marvel where some of the biggest heroes were actually Skrulls at one point.
Yeah.
Ah.
And were basically sabotaging things that were going on. Mm-hmm. So well, this it could this, be kind of a reverse setup.
This
for
could
some
also
things in the
be
future.
Partially, I'm thinking, part of the smoke we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Korean Skrulls figure, I believe it. Heavily in both Fantastic Four and X-Men.
Skrulls are essentially a Fantastic Four villain.
Yeah.
But there's co-ownership.
Yeah.
Which between them, which
because
is
because they've been everywhere.
That Fox owns specific Skrulls.
Like Super
and,
Skrull.
And yeah. Other ones are co-owned, which is why Marvel can use them in
this. But it's like, this is another one that we've been saying, there's some smoke here, because
yep.
Mm-hmm. Both the Kree and the Skrull, like I said, they factor in Fantastic Four, we just said, but they factor heavily in the X-Men also.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like something's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
Oh, and we're getting Nick Fury with two eyes.
Yeah, Nick Fury, because it's the 90s. He has both eyes.
Ah,
he's
okay.
He's gonna be in Captain Marvel.
Nice.
So this is early in his career.
You,
so.
You
I
might
thought you were talking about
the
spelling of his name.
Fury with two eyes.
I swap up for that new.
There's no alcohol here today.
Is there some special reason why you'd be changing?
You might get to see how he loses an eye.
That's true.
You know, it
yeah.
depends what they do in Captain Marvel.
I just had a sick thought.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. It
happens all the time. It's cursing me. Sorry. Remember Operation Galactic Storm?
No.
Well, that would not be cool. It was an Avengers subtitle. It was between the Kree and the Skrulls. Someone got their hands on a Negabomb.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Ooh. And the Avengers had to step up, and I think it was the Kree Supreme Intelligence who decided to use it and literally nuked the Kree Empire. And the Avengers were trying to figure, okay, where's his bomb? What's going on? Let's stop it. I didn't read the whole thing, but, oh man, could you imagine if you grabbed everybody? Too bad we have this Infinity Wars thing going on.
Yeah. Bad.
Maybe if they did it as an anime, but could you imagine them just grabbing any Avenger they felt like grabbing, say, around 2008, and just do the movie?
There you go.
Just for the heck of it. You just do a multi-movie set.
You could.
Or Inferno.
Oh, Inferno.
Get the old X-Men voice, like, the dude who still plays Wolverine. Was he still alive? I mean, just... Come on, Goblin Queen, let's dance.
That's the one that a lot of people are looking forward to, Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And being set in the 90s, it means a little more when you go back to Iron Man, which started it all for the Marvel Universe at this point, with Nick Fury when he's first getting Tony to join the Avengers and says, "You think you're the only superhero around?" You know? So, it, you know, is he now referring to Captain Marvel and others?
Yeah.
It's just too bad. It's too bad Blade gets none of this props, because technically he's the one.
He will have it. There's something going on behind the scenes with Blade already. They've not moved forward on anything, but they've also not mentioned anything after the second Infinity War movie, if I remember right. There's what, one more movie that they've announced?
Haven't announced their next grouping of movies, really.
No. Actually, if you think, since the beginning of, since they started announcing movies ahead of time, really, Marvel's at the place, I think they've never had this few movies announced. Because they've got, what, five movies announced and that's it?
Because,
they're getting towards the end of the list,
yeah.
And they're keeping a lid on the rest of it.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, they haven't even announced a title for the second Infinity War movie.
Exactly.
Technically have not even released the trailer for Infinity War. They showed it at Comic-Con. It has not been released wide yet. And they said it's because they want to make it perfect for the wider audience.
Yeah.
There was certain stuff that they were fine showing at Comic-Con, but they want to make it perfect. You can find the leaked trailer. Kylan and I have watched it. It's pretty awesome. It's one of
yes.
those ones where someone in the crowd filmed it at
yeah.
a bad angle, but even then, it's still awesome.
It is, wow.
But how long was that before it was taken down?
No, they're still there. You can still find it.
Yes.
Because people keep copying and reposting them.
Okay,
so, they're still
so
there.
The question I keep forgetting to ask over and over again, who's Captain Marvel?
Captain Marvel is Carol Danvers?
Or Shazam! Who's oh, wait, who's playing?
Different Captain Marvel.
Brie Larson is playing her.
That's right. I think I read that somewhere. Okay.
Which is the other reason it's kind of good that it's in the 90s, because a lot of people complained about the age of Brie Larson to play Carol Danvers, who now in the comics is in her 40s.
Oh, okay.
You know, she's gone through a lot of military training, and she is captain. Like, I mean, she leads troops, yeah. basically. So a lot of people complained about the age and that kind of thing. So it kind of helps.
So I wonder, in this movie, are they going to actually mention the original Captain Marvel? I forget who he was.
Well, if they Marvel have the Skrulls in it, if they have a Skrull Kree thing going on, because yeah, that's what he came from.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so if they decide to do at least a bit of an origin for her, they'd have Mar-Vell showing him. Because, I mean... For her, I think you kind of need a bit of an origin story, because it's kind of confusing as to, like, how can she have these cosmic powers where she can fly into space
right. yeah.
when she's technically human.
But the flip of it is you can do what they did in, what was it, Incredible Hulk? I like that. They put the origin story in the opening credits.
Yeah.
Just, like, got it out of the
That's
way.
That's true. Boom. That's true. You could do that. So that you just see a glimpse of Mar-Vell, or even just before the opening credits.
They need to ground it with Earth, otherwise it's going to be like a story like, what? Mm-hmm. Unless it's Guardians of the Galaxy, great. Which is hard to do.
It is. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy kind of is standalone in terms
Guardians
of
Guardians was, I think, catching lightning in a bottle. Mm-hmm. The second one did almost as well, but didn't catch it quite the same. But that first one, it was the perfect set of circumstances.
And really, it took this long, and making sure that the audience was cool with that kind of cosmic level of adventure to get them to Infinity War, because they're going to have Earth and Cosmos going on.
But what was the big fat anchor to Guardians of the Galaxy? Earth music.
True.
Yeah.
80s stuff.
There's something
so it's got to be an anchor be for her, and it's got to be just as strong. Right. And Yggdrasil to run through. Blah, blah.
Yeah, it was basically what made Guardians work so well for general audiences didn't know, it was the fact that Star-Lord is one of us.
Yes.
Right. And they anchored that, and they told everybody knew this, that he's a human going through all this stuff.
He's partly one of us.
If they'd made it completely, well, if they'd made it completely alien... It wouldn't. I don't think it would have went off.
No. It would have been like the space movie, and people would have been put off by that. The only other stuff I had. Comic-Con has kept up its tradition of doing a panel just of Marvel's female creators, so that was kind of cool. It had a lot of the current writers and artists for comics like Generation X, Hulk, Runaways, Captain Marvel, the Riri Williams versions of Invincible Iron Man. And Ms. Marvel. It also had Lorraine Sink, who does the THWAP video podcast with Agent M from Marvel, that gives all current Marvel news and stuff. There's a book she's doing for DK called Marvel, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know.
that actually makes sense. That makes sense because they've done the same thing with Star Wars also.
Yeah.
And they actually have a new version of that coming
Marvel
out in a couple
has had
months.
Versions like this, books like this before.
Well, this is exactly the same name. It was Star Wars, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know.
Yeah, so they're coming out with that. So she's working on that one. And they said the animated Avengers Assemble Season 5 has changed its name to Avengers Black Panther Quest.
Okay.
So it's going to be all obviously Black Panther centric. It's going to give people who he is, his relationships, Wakanda, which basically leads up to the movie. So
it's basically since this is aimed at kids officially, it's letting the kids know what's going on before Black Panther.
Well, and what they've done before. It's what they've done
he
before
did not
in
disappoint.
The comics.
He did not disappoint.
Yeah, but Black Panther was on Avengers. Before was Avengers Assembled, the other
Another animated series,
So he was on there.
Well, no, they know the character. They don't know all his story, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically giving the backstory before the movie.
Right, so...
That's true.
Which is a cool idea to not just throw him in there and have him part of the larger group. It gives him his own storyline.
He had a story going all the way back to the Spider-Man days, when everything is, like, moving all weird and stuff. They had, like, proper questions.
Right. Yeah. The interesting thing is Jeffrey Thorne is listed as showrunner on the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
He's the writer and producer of The Librarians.
Oh, nice.
So... You know, they know the adventure side of things.
That is a seal of approval. We need to frame your head like we can go, oh.
That's Kyle's seal of approval.
That. That's an oh.
We need a big sticker like that.
I love the librarians. I'm just like,
Yeah, we've talked about that.
There's a comic book series coming out.
What?
Yeah, the new
one. That was in previews.
The latest season I still have to see.
So why did they just keep finding ways to take my money?
People keep taking your money.
They do. They just like...
Someday we'll use a gun, but for now... We'll just use
you don't need a gun for Kylan's money.
Now we can move on to Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Again, I got the whole blog from the main Warner Brothers panel. If we want to stick with superheroes for now, we can talk about the DC Comics portion.
Okay.
Not surprisingly, they had everyone from Justice League up there.
Yeah.
They talked first a bit about Aquaman.
And we got a trailer that no one else gets to see.
Yeah. So, they called it a clip. They didn't really call it a trailer. So, you know, a bit of a clip. And you've seen the images already. You kind of know.
Yeah. And actually, from what I heard, that was really short. It was a matter of Momoa gets up there. He ran up holding the trident or something.
Yeah.
And then he's like, here's the clip. And then they move right on to Justice League.
Well, interestingly, Momoa actually traveled to San Diego Comic-Con specifically from Australia.
Yeah.
That, like, the day before or something.
Well, that's because he's still filming.
We couldn't finish shooting the clip, Dad.
Exactly. He just showed up. He was there.
We're behind.
And they also said that Aquaman, the movie really is specifically about Aquaman's life and an experience with him, like the underwater stuff. And it's, you know, and they did show concept art for Black Manta.
Yeah.
So people got to see that.
Yeah, Ocean Master and Black Manta are both in it. Ocean Master is not the villain in this one.
Okay.
Because at this point, he's still, he's just Aquaman's brother.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. And it sounds like they're not rushing that, which is good. Yeah. Everything I've heard out of the DC Comics stuff from the movies is they're actually, Warner Brothers finally letting them slow down.
Well, it was only about a week and a half ago that I saw them post a picture of the construction of Arthur Curry's lighthouse.
Yeah.
So they're actually constructing it, and you know they're not rushing to do stuff like that.
Well,
so.
And remember when Batman v Superman right before it came out, they announced like 57 different movies all coming out, and they started pulling back on those, and everybody's got the knee jerk reaction like, well, something's going really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, what it is Geoff Johns finally got in there and said, slow down.
Right.
Let's make a movie, make it good. Then move on to the next one and make it good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they've totally changed their announcement. There's only like four or five movies that have been announced now. All the rest have been pulled off for the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Which is what you should be doing. Like,
exactly.
We want the good movies. We don't just want a lot of movies.
The thing is, they'll never catch up with Disney. They'll never catch up with Marvel.
No.
They don't need to.
They let Marvel do it first.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
to see.
Even now, they couldn't even like put out movie at the same pace. Marvel is just da-da-da-da-da. They
but
have
the
it down.
Is,
over the shoulder, one eye.
Uh-huh.
So many of their heroes, yes, are similar, but there's so many differences, they do need to just... Not worried.
Yeah.
Like
they don't need to be Marvel.
Marvel
be
is never worried about DC, so DC does not need to worry about Marvel.
And
I don't think
the DC creators and the directors and stuff are not, and the ones they brought in and the people actually doing the DC films part, I don't think they care or worried about being Marvel. I think it's Warner Brothers above them saying, we want the money Marvel's making.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We want to be Marvel.
Well,
give them
time.
Yes.
Let the guys that make comic books make your comic book stuff.
And stick to your strength animation.
Uh-huh.
My God.
Yes, actually, I have some stuff.
Oh, there
that
is some big animation
too.
Stuff that I am all excited
but back
about.
To Justice League for a bit. The only thing I really took out of when they were talking about Justice League itself was the fact that they are going to reflect the kind of the age differences in the team in terms of who bonds together.
Yeah.
Like Flash and Cyborg bond. They have similar ages. They've had similar kind of traumatic experience to get their powers.
Yeah.
So not surprisingly, they kind of buddy up in the movie. I thought this part was funny, though. You know, they always have Q&As at these things. So a child asked, where's Superman? Jason Momoa said, I'm not sure if your parents showed you the last movie, but Superman's dead.
No. Wait for the punchline after this, though.
That's
all
I had. That was enough punchline
for
me.
No, later on, in the signing booth, the kid also came back up, and Momoa kind of whispered to him, which everybody heard, but said, no, he's alive. Just
well, I mean, everyone knows he's going to show up. And the interesting thing I find about the Justice League marketing right now, they have totally dropped Unite.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's one person missing.
Well, also, the problem is, if you look at the... they've already released a lot of the information for the like theatrical, the theater displays and stuff, all have Superman on display.
Well, right. But that still only brings them to six. The early marketing was Unite the Seven.
Yeah.
Still brings them to six. And that's why it gives a little more credence to
Green Lantern Easter possibly being there somewhere.
Easter egginess of Green Lantern showing up.
No. Since Vernon wasn't able to make it, he had to run with his girlfriend and take care of some stuff. But that's Martian Manhunter. I got to put it in there because that's Vernon's pick.
You know what would have been interesting? The old Green Lantern.
Green Lantern? Alan Scott?
The original?
The one. If he just came out of somewhere.
Including the weakness to wood.
Yes.
I'm hoping if he shows up, it's Jon Stewart. That's all I'm saying.
See, I'm a Kyle Rayner fan myself.
Right. Kyle Rayner's good. See, the thing is, I don't think the Kyle Rayner character will fit with the current iteration of Justice League.
See, Guy Gardner would.
Guy Gardner.
Man.
That'll be something.
Man, if we got Guy Gardner, oh my god.
No, you realize there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 Green Lanterns from Earth right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And that's because Alan Scott's not officially back anywhere. But there are rumblings that there's a chance JSA may be slowly making its way back. So we may get him back eventually. Right. But that's other stuff.
The other thing they did mention, which we had talked about earlier, was the Teen Titans TV show.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's starting production September 25th in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting Nightwing, Beast Boy, Raven, Starfire, all that. They haven't released cast though, have they?
No, they've not announced cast, directors, writers, anybody yet.
Yeah.
Well, no, we know the producers and the first set of writers.
Well, the showrunners are Akiva Goldsmith, Jeff Johns, and Greg Berlanti. We know that
but
kind of thing.
Jeff Johns and Greg Berlanti. Okay, there's another. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. You know what you're going to get out of them. So, mm-hmm.
I'm still hoping that the Teen Titans series is going to be part of the Flash Arrow universe, or at least spin out of there and take Kid Flash from Flash, take Wally and put him into the Titans as a connection.
I mean, if they want to do the proper Teen Titans,
yeah,
Wally needs to be in there, but they better not change the actor.
No, that's what I said.
They better
make it part
the
of the
one.
Universe and swing it through, because after Flash comes back, because there's already pictures out there of Wally in the Flash costume.
Mm-hmm.
In the actual Flash costume, not the Kid Flash costume.
Right.
So, but after the second or third episode, when Barry does come back, maybe Wally has a reason, then they spin him off into his own show. Because they don't need two Flashes running around on Flash, especially without a speedster villain.
No, that's true. Mm. That's true. The other thing I had was the animated movie announcements they made, which we already knew about Gotham by Gaslight being the next animated movie.
But it seemed like everything I read was that it was a big headline. It's like, they've already announced this one.
Yeah, I think it's because they gave some more details, perhaps. I don't know. But because they said it would actually expand on the original comic.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know, although I think we mentioned this last episode or the one before, it was like basically the first Elseworlds.
It was the first Elseworlds.
And set in Victorian times with Batman chasing after Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
It's basically what it comes down to.
Gotham by Gaslight.
So the fact that they're doing that one, which really is an awesome, we have it, I've read it, it's awesome. And that they're expanding on it, that makes it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They're also going to do, because apparently someone needs it, another Suicide Squad film, animated this time.
Well, this one is actually moving, like you were saying about the DC doing so fantastic with their animated. This is going to put them, because DC has two sets of animated movies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They have standalone animated, which is what Gotham by Gaslight is going to be.
Yeah.
And then they have an actual continuing universe, which is where the newest Teen Titans and Justice League movies have all been part of this. And the Suicide Squad moves them into that universe.
It's actually fitting.
So it basically brings them in.
It's actually fitting within the canon, but it's an original story.
Yeah.
So, which is, both are good things.
And it's going to be interesting to see what characters they use for the Suicide Squad, because the ones in the current Rebirth comics are not the same one. They're not all the same ones that were in the movie.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see who they pull in.
And it'll be nice if they leave Joker out. because
he was never actually a part of the Suicide
Squad.
He's
not in the damn Suicide Squad. Shouldn't have been in the movie. And aside from the fact that the movie was boring, ruined the rest of it for me.
But you have to give him props for the Assault on Arkham. He belonged there. That first Suicide Squad animation one.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So it's once in a while, if you make him as a show, but they shouldn't bring him in anymore.
No.
The twist would be: what if you actually had the Suicide Squad having to stop Lex Luthor? Fully aware that the man holds a grudge.
That would be cool.
Ooh, hey, that earned it. Take this to the studios.
I would like that. I would like to see that.
You don't see Lex Luthor cracking like bald Lex Luthor these days.
No.
He's actually a good guy at the moment.
Yeah.
What?
That creates a problem.
Well, no, what it is, if you watch the You're books when he's in, he is actually running around in his power suit with an S on the chest like Superman. But it's cool because the way they do it, he's technically working with the heroes, but you see he's got an alternative motive somewhere, and they've not teased any bit of thing about what this actually is.
Of course he has an ulterior motive.
He still likes Luthor, but he's not trying to destroy everything. So,
and speaking of the S, the other two movies
they're coming out with
for animation are The Death and Return of Superman, basically, the stories. In 2007,
yeah.
Superman Doomsday was essentially both of those stories crammed into one.
It was a very, very neutered version of that
story.
It
was not a good idea, is what it came down to.
Well, the problem is they took an entire year's worth of comic books, because The Death and Return of Superman was a year long.
Yeah.
Just like the Batman breaking of the Batman's back was a year-long story back then. Well, this, they had a year-long story over five books that they condensed into a 75-minute movie.
Yeah, one single animated movie.
But you know what? I think they should just leave it alone. There's so much
Honestly, I think they should leave a lot of the Trinity alone and go for some of the other characters.
Well,
that's
why they're going to this one, because if you look at most of the animated standalone movies have been in the Batman universe, really.
That's true.
So this is gonna actually put something for Superman.
Yeah,
they've not done an actual Superman movie in a while.
Right. So, he's been so in next other year, movies, 2018, you're getting Death of Superman, which is going to cover the Doomsday battle, and then in early 2019, they're going to have Reign of the Supermen, which covers the stories of the four different Supermen that come out after Superman.
I just can't wait to see Superboy with a fade. You remember him?
But I am Superman. Because he had I like that leather jacket.
Yeah.
I like the leather jacket.
They gave him good lines, that's about it.
And, you know, he didn't need, and the sunglasses kind of had to go.
He didn't have the,
goggles or something
once in a while.
Yeah, you know, he had the
circle sunglasses.
They were red, and I'm like, yeah, dude,
the other one that's going to be interesting is the fact that that's the story that introduced you to the last son of Krypton, who eventually becomes the Eradicator.
Yeah.
There you go.
And it has Hank Henshaw's Cyborg Superman as one of the four Supermen.
That's true. And the John Henry Irons one could basically be like an apology for Shaq's movie.
The only other piece of animated news was from CW Seed.
I saw the trailer for that.
They did have a trailer for it. The next DC animated series will be Freedom Fighters The Ray. Which is kind of awesome because it's the DC CW featuring their first openly LGBT lead character.
Yeah.
And it's set fighting Nazis in World War II.
No, it's modern times. It's an alternate universe, Nazis won World War II. Yeah, I believe this. I'm not sure if this is the 50s or it's now, but it's an alternate world.
Right. And
it's Earth X or something like that.
And Nazi, like Germany has its own Reichsmen, which is a bunch of superheroes.
But the funny thing is, Supergirl is a part of it.
It's their versions.
Arrow and Flash are Nazis.
Yeah.
Flash, Green Arrow, and Supergirl, and they're voiced by the actors from the TV shows.
And their only heavy hitter was a Red Tornado. He got dropped.
And they're going to have Red Tornado, Black Condor, and Phantom Lady.
See, Black Condor and Phantom Lady I'm not as familiar with, but I know they're actually... Vernon looked this up. That's what it was. They're actually part of the Freedom Fighters is a Golden Age team from DC.
It is.
And those were two of the members of that team.
Yeah.
Or Descendants who took up the slot.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But
that's where those characters came from.
Did you hear anything about Young Justice? I heard they were getting another season.
26 episodes.
Young Justice Outsiders?
Yes, Young Justice Outsiders, 26 episodes. The first 10 are in the can, ready to go. The second 12 are in process. They've not written the last set of them, but they know they're getting them.
They released
art for them, so you got to see. Except for the missing Aqualad.
Well, they messed up. Well, the Aqualad's not been announced for this yet.
Exactly. Aqualad is the missing member.
Well, the interesting thing is they met the one still picture they put up. Showed, I think it was Nightwing, Wonder Girl. It was supposed to be Black Lightning and someone else. The problem is, the still they showed looked like Aqualad. It didn't look like Black Lightning.
Yeah, but then they said, no, that was Black Lightning, not Aqualad. So
and he looked just like Aqualad.
He's the missing piece, but yeah.
There's a couple of characters they said purposely have not released yet. But once again, this, just like Titans, is supposed to be on the Warner Brothers or the DC Comics paid streaming service.
is where this is going.
So you're going to have to pay for Warner Brothers. You're going to have to pay for Stargate. Or you get the DVD someday.
Exactly. But the funny thing is, I didn't know until last week. This is not Comic-Con news, but Star Trek is now being officially touted, Star Trek Discovery, as a joint CBS-Netflix series. Because everybody but North America gets it on Netflix.
Yeah. Yep.
America and Canada has to get it on CBS All Access.
Exactly.
Okay. Do it better than Voyager. That's all I say.
So let's move on
yes,
from the animated and from the superheroes. The rest of the Warner Brothers panel involved Blade Runner, which was pretty cool because you got the whole cast up there. They actually showed a video that gave the timeline from the last one to the current one. So you have it. The timeline they gave started in 2019 when Deckard flees Los Angeles. It went through the next year. The Tyrell Corp came up with a new replicant model. And interestingly, Dave Bautista plays one of the replicants in 2049.
Nice. he looks awesome in the trailer.
In 2022, there was an EMP detonation causing a global blackout, and which kind of gives you a feel for why things are looking the way they're looking in this one. In 2023, a replicant prohibition was put into effect. In 25, a new company called Wallace Corp solved the global food shortage and becomes a massive power. In 2030, the replicant prohibition was repealed, and in 2049, life on Earth has reached its limit and society divides between replicant and human, and that's where the movie picks up.
Ah.
Oh.
So, it's going to be, post-apocalyptic battle, man versus machine. And
you think he screwed it up?
I still say
it's Scott.
Well, he didn't direct this one. He's just producing it.
It's,
do you think he screwed it up?
Denis Villeneuve is the director.
And everything that I saw a couple of quotes from the panel. They were saying they did everything they could to make this everything that the original one was.
Well, he
or as good as the original.
Villeneuve's quote specifically was, and I'm censoring myself, didn't want someone else to F it up.
Yeah.
So
that's why he decided he had to do this one.
It's like, so there's some things you just don't do, like an Animal House 2.
You could not do it.
You can because you don't have the horse.
Yeah. You can't do Animal House 2 because it would get an NC-17 rating.
These days, I don't think it would. I mean, really?
You're both right.
You've seen some of the PG-13s. Ooh, I mean, come on.
You're both right.
But this was another one. Blade Runner was another one that had one of those immersive experiences.
Yes.
At Comic-Con. It recreated Los Angeles 2049. So you actually walked in and there were replicants, supposedly. There were all kinds of interesting setting of a cityscape. There was dozens of actors involved, real props from the film. There was a VR-related aspect. It had an Oculus VR motion chairs ride.
Okay.
That basically puts you in the driver's seat of a spinner chasing a rogue replicant through L.A.
I can see the way they're doing this because around here there's only one theater I know that has it, but Cinemark has what they call the D-Box.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's actually chairs that move, lean back, forward, up, down, and shake and stuff along with the movie.
Hmm.
That would be an awesome way to do the movie. Yeah, have the whole movie doing something like that. The rest of the Warner Brothers panel was mostly Ready Player One.
Yes.
The stuff I saw
that was phenomenal.
Steven Spielberg and Ernie Klein. So, of course, Ernie Klein did say the story is slightly different in the film.
You have to be.
Because even in the trailer, if you look at it, there's this race going on that's not in the book.
Yeah.
So... and he also said the Iron Giant's a major player in the story.
Well, that,
we talked about that.
Yeah, I think the Iron Giant is the replacement for a lot of the Spielberg stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because Spielberg, like we said, purposely took a lot of his stuff out of the script.
Yeah. And he basically, that's a lot of what they talked about was what was taken out, what was replaced, what was... and of course, they showed the trailer, which was one of the big ones to come out of Comic-Con that a lot of us are looking forward to. There are so many Easter eggs in this trailer.
Mm-hmm. I just hope that for the end of the movie, they didn't take the Iron Giant to replace the other Mega Mechs and stuff. The Mega Godzilla.
I don't think they'd go that far. I really don't think they'd go.
We gotta see Mega Godzilla and Ultraman and
At least a couple of them.
Have you read the book yet?
I'm wondering what you guys are talking about.
Ready Player One.
What
you gotta read it. Ready Player One. It's a cyberpunk novel.
Oh, the trailer for that.
Yeah, the trailer
okay.
for the movie. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'm like, I think I posted, I'm like, what kind of glue or mushrooms are they on here?
Read the book and you'll understand.
Yes.
Okay. One of the things I missed in the trailer that I had to go back and catch was the fact that the music at the beginning with the VR is actually an homage to Willy Wonka's Pure Imagination song from the movie. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. And other ones, and I will, you know, we'll let people watch the clip over and over again to find it themselves. You've got Harley Quinn. You've got Lady Deadpool. You've got Slade Wilson. Iron Giant's an obvious one. Freddy Krueger's kind of obvious. You see the DeLorean, the bikes from Tron. There's,
I thought that was a light cycle.
Yes. Yep. But they can't technically make it from Tron because you know, they don't have the rights for that, but it looks close enough. You have Knights from Joust. You have a Scorpion from Centipede.
Yeah.
The 18, the 18 van is apparently in there.
Okay. Didn't they have the Scorpion riding a Scorpion?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that what that was? Yeah.
It was a Scorpion riding a Scorpion. Christine is apparently in there, the car from Stephen King. The bike from Akira is in there. There's some Dragon Ball Z related stuff. There's a lot in the trailer.
That's
so.
Like we said when they first announced this, if they could put half of what he put in the book into the movie, this is going to be the most expensive movie ever made.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking like Terry Gilliam crazy.
To some extent.
Yeah. You can think most of this entire book takes place in a virtual world that was created by people who grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
So all the references and stuff in there is references to the 70s, 80s, and 90s stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Pop culture.
Okay. Yeah. So it'll be something. Anyway, we still have, what, about 8-9 months to go?
Something like that.
Other stuff I came up with that was just popped up from Comic-Con. We have, comics-wise, a new volume of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen was announced.
Okay.
Which I was excited about because it's one of my favorite series, and Alan Moore is one of my favorite writers. And it's the fourth and final. Alan Moore had announced, I believe it was last year, that he was retiring, but he had one more thing to do. So they figured this is his one more thing. If you don't know who Alan Moore is, which I don't know if you don't know, but he co-created books like Watchmen and V for Vendetta, and he did Batman the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen is very literary. Don't watch the movie. That's all I'm saying.
See, I enjoyed the movie, but I didn't read the books first.
No, the movie looks pretty.
Yeah, the
it has no substance.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Okay, I read the book before I saw the movie. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's kind of like after they would have, I don't know, appeared in their respective bits, like you know, the Invisible Man. Oh yeah, I remember him. Or Jekyll and Hyde. Oh yeah, what happened to him? It's kind of like that. And it's darker than dark. Fine.
Yes.
They tried to do a movie. They had to make it PG-13. And
they had to appeal to Americans.
And for some reason, it went crazy with the special effects budget. I'm sure anybody doing it now would have grounded it Netflix style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see those Netflix series like Penny Dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they got Nemo back in the game.
Yeah.
After the second one, it's like, if I see you, I can't, really? Okay. Because the first two books were awesome. I didn't even know there was a third one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ooh, I must play. Yeah, so I would say do both just because there were some elements, because it's Sean Connery's last live performance, yes, in a movie?
I think, possibly.
Possibly.
I think he's like, okay, I think I'm going to retire.
That's true, it's been a while.
Let me look up.
He's done animated stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that was technically his last on screen.
That's true.
And he was zen with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it some gravitas. If not for Sean Connery, I would have been like, okay, yeah, right. And Moriarty was cool.
Yeah.
And Nemo, oh, his stunt double.
Yeah,
oh,
Nemo was awesome. Yeah. But especially if you have kind of a literary interest and you've read a lot of classics and stuff like that, especially the Victorian classics, you'll get a lot out of the comics because, oh my God, the references, the little in-jokes, it's crazy. Like they're
and the not-so-classic Victorian stuff, too.
Yeah, don't let your kids read this
classic.
Graphic.
Is that classic?
It's erotica, but it's classic, let me tell you.
Right.
Don't let your kids read this, because I remember how they met the Invisible Man.
This is not a kid's book. This is not a kid's book.
Yeah, I'm
saying. No.
He found him in a brothel. Let's put it that way.
This is written by the same man who wrote a big 3-bound volume work of erotic fantasy female characters that had, you know, Alice in Wonderland and stuff like that, and Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
So this is not what you want your kids doing. But it's quite awesome, all the references. So yeah, the fourth one's coming out. They don't have any further news on that. But one of the other things was the Big Hero 6, the series.
Yes.
Which I knew Ken would be happy about.
Oh yeah. Dude, that's...
it's his favorite character.
That's right. You can't not like Baymax. I mean, the dude's awesome.
It picks up right after the events of the movie,
mm-hmm.
With Hero being the new kid at the San Francisco
yes.
Institute of Technology. And, you know, so he's the odd kid out because he's the youngest and all that kind of thing. And it has all his... it's already been renewed for a second season, amazingly.
Yeah. Well, actually, and if you watch the trailer for it switches from 3D in the movie, 3D animated, to 2D animated, but it still looks just as good as the movie did.
Mm-hmm. And it has all the original voice actors, too.
Yes.
For the characters.
For everybody that could get to come back.
And the Big Hero 6 team. So that's on Disney XD. That's coming soon. It's this
fall.
It's
interesting because it looks like it's a trailer everybody says that they put out. It's actually just the opening credits for the movie or for the show.
Right. So that's something to look forward to. And also another animated show that is close to my heart because I absolutely love it. Bob's Burgers is going to have a one-hour Christmas special. Which, I mean, animated shows don't usually do one-hour specials like that. So it's going to be 1 hour. It's in its eighth season. And it's going to have Adam Driver in it.
Interesting.
So we'll see what happens.
Why are you shaking your head, sir?
Because that's just going to be messed up.
Yeah. Another interesting thing about Bob's Burgers for the eighth season that's starting is its season premiere is going to be a completely fan-drawn episode.
Okay.
A new style in every scene. Earlier this year, and I saw this come out, the show actually reached out to fans and social media and such, asking them to provide bits of three types of animation: title sequence, background static panels, and character static panels. So they're actually going to use all the stuff they got, and they're going to produce a show based on that.
So it'd be like an acid trip where it goes from like Simpsons grade to McFarlane grade to fourth grader grade.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
And what's Bob Burgers about? I never heard of it.
Bob's Burgers is about a burger shop. It's Bob.
I've not watched it either. I have a general idea.
It's Bob
about it,
and Linda and their three kids, and they run a burger shop, and it's adult animated, but not like Adult Swim animated. More like
it's Adult Family Fox. Guys.
A little more like Family Guy, Simpsons kind of.
It's Fox Sunday Night
stuff.
Animated.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do show it on Adult Swim when they're doing the reruns, but it's Fox Sunday Night. So it's one of the things they're known for is
animation domination.
Is their quirky songs, like they'll randomly break out into little bits of song and stuff, and it's just a cool little show with a lot of really sarcastic humor. Is what it comes down to. So you know, perfect for me.
Did they say anything about the Incredibles?
That was all
D23.
D23 gave us a lot about the Incredibles too.
Wow, I'm surprised they still didn't touch on it.
Well, Disney didn't do much at Comic-Con.
Well, no, Disney doesn't do much at Comic-Con because they have...
D23
is the Disney convention, and it was the week before, so they had stuff about The Incredibles.
That's why it's like Marvel announced some stuff, but if you notice the stuff that Marvel announced, other than the big trailer they dropped of Thor, all the Marvel stuff that came out was all Fox Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Because D23, Marvel made most of their announcements there. Lucasfilm, there was very little Star Wars other than Star Wars books that was released.
Well, not all Fox Marvel.
But most of the major stuff that came out of Marvel was Fox or Sony.
Wow.
Because they were just doing the combined stuff. Yeah.
Another
thing that came out was the news of the that Supernatural spinoff we've talked about, Wayward Sisters. They confirmed that they're going to have all of the cast members back that you expect. They had only confirmed the one who plays Jodie when they first announced it, but now you've got basically her adopted daughters.
Okay.
All of them. You also have...
go ahead.
No, you also have someone new called Patience Turner, and she's a powerful psychic, which she inherited from her mother. People who watch Supernatural may remember her mother from back in season one. She was Missouri Mosley, and she helped the boys when they went back to their home, and it was haunted, and had like their mom showed up again, and she was trying to save the family that was there.
She called them amateurs because Dean was using EMF detector. She looked at him, she goes, amateur.
Yeah, that's her. Okay. Way back from season one, she was friends with her dad. So this is her grandmother. Her granddaughter. She inherited the psychic ability.
Wow.
So she's going to be on the show.
That's another one that surprised me, though, because they had Supernatural was there and they released a trailer, but what Supernatural put out was basically just a recap of the last season. There was nothing new in it at all.
Mm-mm. No.
Which almost they should have something at least for the next.
You get the Scooby Doo episode.
Everyone knows there's a Scooby Doo episode coming.
In Supernatural, there's going to be a Scooby Doo episode.
Yes.
Animated.
It's going to be like the Angel episode with the puppet.
Maybe. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the Angel episode. You know what? Don't watch that in the morning.
The dramatic walking along, and then they scroll down.
Okay, the last thing I have from Comic-Con was, during Comic-Con, they had the Eisner Awards.
Yes.
They announced the winners. A lot of this is stuff that I know we read anyway. So, graphic novelist Sonny Liu won 3 of the 6 Eisners he was nominated for. He won Best Writer Artist. His graphic novel, The Art of Charlie Chan Hok Che, got Best Publication Design and Best U.S. Edition of International Material Asia. Reason it's significant, he's the first Singaporean to ever win an Eisner Award.
Okay.
So that was a big deal. The team behind the incredibly popular comic Saga won 4 awards, including Best Continuing Series, Best Writer, Best Cover Artist, Best Penciler Inker.
Okay.
We also got Jill Thompson winning Best Painter, Multimedia Artist, Best Single Issue One-Shot for Beasts of Burden, What the Cat Dragged In, which is a one-shot that I actually bought. It just looked kind of cool, and it's paranormal, and the cat is actually like a witch's familiar kind of cat.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually really cool art. And she got it for Best Graphic Album New for the Wonder Woman, The True Amazon.
Okay.
We also have a story from Batman Annual #1 called Good Boy.
That was actually a really good story, too.
That it took home the best short story.
It was it was from the DC Holiday Special, and it's about Ace the Bat Dog.
There you go. There's a reason for it to win. And actually the same, one of the same individuals from that one, Tom King, won for The Vision for Best Limited Series.
Okay.
Which, if you haven't read The Vision, that's a really good book. Like, it's ended now, limited series and all, but it was a really good book and an interesting take on The Vision and the family he created. Hmm. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl got Best Publication for Teens. We all know that's pretty popular. Even, you know, like Bart and Sarah and all our youth librarian friends always talk about it and getting it for the libraries. Best Anthology, not surprisingly, went to Love is Love, which was the one to benefit the Pulse Orlando shootings.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It has such a great mix of artwork. I read it, and it's actually really hard to get through. It's got, like, a different artist writer for almost every page, but some of the stuff that's in there is really hard to get through.
And if I remember right, all the artists and writers in that book donated their time.
Yes, they
got paid for that book.
So all the proceeds went to the victims of the Pulse shooting.
Yeah, there were 0 checks written for that for writers and artists.
And another one, not surprisingly, March Book 3 won Best Reality-Based Work, just as March Book 2 did last year. Representative Lewis was there to accept the award, and actually they did a bit of a march through the Comic-Con floor. With him leading it after the fact. We also have winners for Best Coloring on books like Cry Havoc, Paper Girls, Wiccan Divine, and then the, you know, Best Lettering, stuff like that. But the funny one was Chip Zdarsky won for Jughead. It got Best Humor Publication. So right after the fact, Zdarsky tweeted, "The Eisner Award winning Jughead!" And he was like, what a world. And there was Jack Kirby got a posthumous Bill Finger Excellence in Comics Writing Award.
Cool.
And I believe it was his son that was there that accepted it and gave a speech. Mm. And among those inducted into the Hall of Fame this year was our favorite George Perez.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's the news I had. And I think I'm done with Comic-Con now.
Well, you should be about done. It's about time for the show to be over.
Look, let me tell you, when I was collecting news from Comic-Con, because I was looking for the, like we said, the stuff that didn't get as much press necessarily, I had up to 40 pages of notes for this damn thing. And that, because I was just copy-pasting the blog posts from, like, comicbook.com and IO9 and all that kind of stuff. and then I had to go through and cut it down. So you people better appreciate this type of stuff.
We do. Thank you.
Out of all the, now everybody knows all of the new, how many comic book and geek sites are out there. Mm-hmm. I'm always surprised how much comicbook.com actually ends up with. They, if there's a story anywhere, they've got something on it, even if it's only two paragraphs.
Yep. Right. They've got people everywhere. I think they get a lot of those just like multi-bloggers where they grab it and put it on their site and a bunch of others. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
TMZ
they definitely
of the comic world.
Pretty much.
That's comicbook.com.
And they also, I think, is it comicbook.com or comic book resources that they post wrestling stuff too?
Yeah.
There's like
Dead Geek and comicbook.com both have it.
Right.
But the cool thing with comicbook.com that most of the other sites don't do, on the top pages they have a franchise. You can click it and pull just their DC comic stories or just their Marvel stories or just their Star Wars stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's much easier for than having to search for everything.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. But, well, since we're getting ready to wrap this up, Marcus, I want to thank you. Our buddy Marcus Calvert has been joining us this whole time. Marcus, since you're the only one here, why don't you let everybody know how to get a hold of you and your writing and stuff? We've had you on the show before, but since you're here, plug your writing real quick.
My name is Marcus.
20 seconds.
Marcus, middle initial V, Calvert, C-A-L-V as in Victor, E-R-T. If you punch that into Amazon or just type in Murder Sauce, I will pop up. I've dropped second edition books since last May, and I have 6 of them out there.
Okay.
Basically, there are anthologies of books. I'd say about 4 at this point. Think Twilight Zone on mushrooms. Really, really colorful stuff like 7 Deadly Sins operating out of a beauty salon to a vampire wearing child support. And basically, a triple anthology, a 3-book set of supervillain stories based on a fixer who's forced to fight crime in a world where heroes are almost extinct. And he treats it like a business, a cutthroat business. And setting up a Patreon page, feel free to track me down. I will be posting unique stuff. And Facebook as well, it's a resource for writers. Anyone who wants to get into the game, please find me there. I'd be more than happy to help you.
Cool. Now also, geeksters that are out there, if we miss something from Comic-Con, like your favorite thing in the world, whatever, if we miss something, let us know. Send us on an email. You can email us at geekwatch1@gmail.com. For anything else, anything, everything, if you want to get a hold of us and find us at all, go to geekwatch1.com. That's the easiest way to find everything. On all social media, we're also geekwatch1. We're on the Tangibon of Weeby Geeks Networks. And then, from there, do anybody else have anything else before we wrap this up?
Go see some movies.
We actually have a 3-movie show coming up in the next couple weeks somewhere. We're going to cover Valerian, Atomic Blonde when it comes out, and what was the other one?
Dark Tower.
We're probably going to do that all in one show.
Yeah.
So go out and see those as soon as they're out.
I would like to end with a text battle cry. Spoon! Because I hear that one's coming back too.
Yeah.
Yes,
yep.
End of this month.
It is.
Well, with that, just remember.
No matter where you go, there you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.